Welcome to a special edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast, live from Radio Row at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee D. Kemper is here in the flesh, sitting here on Radio Row in front of our massive Ira Kaufman Podcast banner and ESPN Cleveland, which all of you folks who've been reading Twitter saw they ran into a bunch of hot water next to us today.
Yeah, it happened right by us, right today.
Right next to us. We were in the flesh.
We were wondering what all the commotion was about. Now we know.
And what's missing from the Ira Kaufman Podcast is Ira. He's not here.
Where's Ira?
Ira is home. We invited him. We gave him every opportunity to be here, pay his way, but he had a big thing come up, family thing, and we were last minute on getting the Radio Row space, but the NFL approved us. Thank you, NFL. And here we are. I don't see anybody else local media here on Radio Row. Do you, Lee?
No. Why is that?
Why is that? That's very strange. Well, anyway, we are here in our beautiful Radio Row spot where they're going to be doing the bench pressing here tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow, I think. Wednesday, tomorrow, the quarterbacks do the bench pressing. But when the linemen start doing it, that's when it gets the people go crazy, the fans. They built a little, about 50 yards away from us, there's a little mini arena. It looks like a wrestling arena for a high school wrestling room. Maybe 200 seats, 300 seats.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to roll out the Jello and the whipped
cream.
Oh,
that kind of wrestling. Or the ropes. Get the ropes out. I want to see you guys jump off the top rope. You know, like some high school wrestler or a coach said something, what would you do to make wrestling excitement? I said, put ropes up. I can't get into boys in tights grabbing each other. It's not me.
Yeah, you need a turnbuckle to liven things up. All right.
A now, foreign object.
We have got plenty of Buccaneers talk today because you and I talked to Jason Light front and center at his news conference, at his little side conference with the local media and Bruce Arians as well. So we've got all kinds of fresh stuff. I'm glad we're going to be able to get this out. Poor Jason.
Yeah, he suffered through that today, man. There's nothing he hates more than to sit up in front of NFL media and try to answer questions that he doesn't want to answer.
Really, this was his first news conference, his first gathering with reporters in 10 months since after the draft.
That's almost sad.
Which just tells you he doesn't like to do it, and the Glazers don't care whether he's the face of the franchise or not. And, yeah, he sits down with Gene Deckerhoff before each game for six or seven softball questions, and sometimes there's a nugget there that we use on JoeBucksFan.com, but, Light is not a big fan of these things, and he was sweating a little bit. Not too bad, though. Not too bad.
Well, what I find interesting about Jason and the people, I'm sure the video is up on Buccaneers.com, I notice this taking photos of Jason. When he's at a microphone, whenever he answers a question, he looks up as if he's looking up for a divine spirit for guidance. Like, help me out, Lord. Give me an answer.
Well, we've got divine guidance, Lee, and that is for everyone to head to Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway.
They treat you like God.
Tampa's first family of Ford presents all of Ira Kaufman's work at JoeBucksFan.com. The end of the month specials are always the best, and we are coming up, of course, at the end of February. But it's not about that there. It's about the family service you get. General Manager Sean Sullivan is eager and ready to take care of any fan who comes in personally, which you just don't get in any other dealership. Sean's a friend. You've heard him on the podcast. Go back, actually, and check it out on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, any of the platforms. Two podcasts ago was Sean Sullivan's mock draft that we sat down and talked, a very unique mock draft with Ira, and we take it from 1 to 14. Got a lot of great feedback on that. But Sean loves the Bucks. He loves just dealing with anybody that we send his way. He'll give you a special Joe Bucks fan discount at Bill Curry Ford. He'll take personal care of you. I've had a lot of people already come to me who have gone to Sean and reach out to us. So definitely do that. The President's Day sales are still rolling at Bill Curry Ford. Most of them roll through March 2nd. And you can go to their website, BillCurryFord.com. Now, Lee, Jameis is obviously a huge subject here at the Combine, not just for us, but for anybody who thinks of the Buccaneers, Jameis, because not much else is going on. And
outside of Shaq, it's Jameis.
Now, the fans have read the quotes. They have seen the highlights on maybe on SportsCenter or on NFL Network of some of the commentary. But you and I have been around these guys forever. Arians only 1 year, but Light forever. But we've watched Arians every move for the last year plus. The vibe on Jameis was very down. Nobody wants to say that they really want him back.
No.
And they could. They could, I maintain, 100 times. They could say, we'd love to have Jameis back. We hope we can work it out. They won't say it.
No. And to me, that's rather damning. I finally posed this to Light. I heard so many times about door number two. I finally hit Light with the question when he was at the podium. And yes, after I asked this question, he was looking for divine guidance. I said, Jason, we keep hearing about door number two, door number two, door number two. We're hearing about it. We know Jameis and his agent are hearing about it. Don't you think you're running a danger that Jameis or his agent is going to say, you know what, enough of this. If you want door number two so bad, you can have door number two. We're leaving. And he didn't deny that. He's like, well, I get along with Jameis's agent, and I talk to him often. You know, I think they're really risking. They're risking two things. One, they're risking pissing off Jameis, him not coming back.
And Light acknowledged that that could be a little bit that pissing off Jameis's camp.
Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, I did speak with Ira on the phone a short time ago. And I told Ira, I said, this is what I think, Ira. If they're trying to use this as leverage to drive down Jameis's price, if I'm Jameis's agent, I raise my price. Like, wait a minute, you don't even want me. Now you want me, it's going to cost you.
I'm not sure how they're playing it. And I honestly have to say they don't really have a lot of experience or much of a track record playing this kind of thing the right way. Now, Bruce Arians, you know, the whole door number two stuff, the whole Monty Hall for you old folks.
See, I thought I was going to age myself by saying Monty Hall. Now you did it. Okay. Go ahead and go to Wikipedia for Monty Hall.
Yeah.
Then you'll know about door number two then.
And it has nothing to do with going to the bathroom.
That's no.
Now, I said to Arians at the podium, I said, Coach, you said regarding quarterback, you can win with Jameis, but you want to see who else is available. Is it fair to say there's one guy out there that if he was available, you would pick up the phone? And Arians looks at me and says, Tom Brady. And, you know, I'm assuming that's some sort of tampering. You know, probably
it smells
not,
like it.
Probably not. But you know what? You say his name, the Patriots can say, hey, you're just driving up his market.
You took words out of my mouth. I said, hey, Tom Brady's got a smile from ear to ear now.
But I think he was being honest.
Yeah,
I really think he was being honest. And he said something very similar with Andrew Siciliano on NFL Network probably half an hour later. You know, I maintained last time I was on the podcast that I think it's Brady or bust for the Bucks
because you've said it before, yeah.
Brady's just too attractive. Then Jenna Lane asked him, Philip Rivers, what about Philip Rivers? And he said, quote, Philip is another guy, we'll see.
He was a little lukewarm about Philip Rivers.
Yeah, he was sort of having fun with it at that point. But this whole door number two thing, it's just odd. Arians made it clear that December was a disappointment for him.
Which is what Ira said. And Ira was dead on.
Ira was dead on. Ira was saying that Arians put a heavy, heavy weight on those final games. And also on NFL Network, Arians admitted, hey, the last impression is usually the most important with me. You know, a lot of it could be negotiating tactics, but
it's a weird negotiating tactic.
There's no way that these guys are feeling confident in Jameis Winston right now. It just doesn't feel that way.
If they were remotely confident, they would be all over it. Oh, we love him. We extolling his virtues. Is that the right extolling?
Yeah.
Just going on and on about what a great quarterback he is, asset to the community, asset to the team, leader, all that nonsense. I just think they're walking a tightrope. Here's the tightrope they're walking. Let's say they do piss off Jameis, and there's nobody behind door number two. Now what? Now you painted yourself into a corner.
Well, I think what they're hoping, what I was able to glean here a little bit, is that they are hoping answers come in the marketplace soon.
36 hours, Bruce Arians said. 36 to 48 hours.
Yeah, he was hoping they'd get some at the combine.
Yeah.
He was hoping they'd get some within a couple of weeks.
The barroom talk between agents and general managers.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to clear up for anybody listening is that's what it's about. It's the chatter, for quick example, when they're out doing their thing and drinking beers and having meetings this week. Okay, maybe we find out exactly where Teddy Bridgewater is going internally. And that's a domino that maybe has nothing to do with the Bucs, but maybe depending on where that is, it changes things with another team. And I'm assuming the Brady questions are going to be answered a little bit if Brady is really serious about having a new team, right? Because if he's serious, he's going to put that word out, and that would help the Bucs and these other teams. But it is a tightrope. They can always franchise Jameis. And you would think that Jameis, at this point, hearing all this stuff, would prefer to be franchised.
You think?
Why not? I mean, what does he have to lose?
What if he holds out? Like, wait, as I stated earlier, what if he says, you know what, you're running door number two now, and all of a sudden you want me? Well, it's going to cost you. And they say, well, we're going to franchise you. Fine. I'll sit out. I'll stay in Alabama. I'll work out. I'll wait for my next team. Then what? Then they got to renegotiate a contract.
Well, it's a tough spot for Jameis, I think, because
tough spot for the Bucs.
No, I agree with you. It's a tough spot for the Bucs, but because of Jameis's history and because he just
oh, I see what you mean. If he holds out with his baggage and his off the field stuff, that just adds to his ugly resume.
And now he's a holdout when he's
and he's going to be labeled a malcontent.
Right, and he's been so front and center every year that he's a super team first guy, and his teammates call him a super team first guy. It's harder for those guys to hold out. Now, Derek Brooks did it, right? Derek Brooks had a little holdout.
But he didn't have the baggage James had.
Well, of course not, and it wasn't a franchise tag kind of situation.
You know, I just thought of this. I don't know if this is ridiculous. I know a lot of people will laugh when I say this. What if James says, franchise me? I'll go play for Vince McMahon.
Oh, he would never do it.
You don't think so?
Yeah, it's too risky. He'd better off playing baseball.
Okay.
He'd make more money.
Oh, and by the way, did you hear Arians talk about, I assume he was talking about Jameis when he said, if a quarterback's trying to pitch, did you hear him say
that?
Yeah,
he said
he'll blow out of your elbow.
Yeah, not related, not connected, and not a good idea to mix.
Yeah.
He also said he doesn't watch the XFL, hasn't watched any, which I thought was interesting because it's like, well, aren't you supposed to be having no stone unturned every inch of your team? You know, maybe there's a returner in the XFL.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness knows the Bucs don't have one. But, Lee, before we keep rolling here, we have John Lynch appearing on this podcast. And, of course, that's a special little treat to Ira because I told Ira, I said, look, I'm going to talk to Lynch. I'm going to pull him aside and say, look, you're not in the Hall of Fame. A lot of people are blaming Ira, and you got to address this. And we need the truth. So he gives us the unvarnished truth. And Lynch talks about a few other things as well, so I'm glad he gave us some one-on-one
time. That was kind of him.
Very kind of him. Certainly didn't have to do that. He's certainly a guy in demand. And he actually pulled me aside. I started talking. He's like, let's head into the corner over here and get a quiet spot. So thank you to John Lynch in advance. And I think the fans will enjoy that. And I know Ira will enjoy it because I'm not going to send him the individual audio. We'll make him suffer. All right.
He'll have to break down and actually learn how to use a pod.
Our Joe Bucks fan draft party continues to get more exciting, Lee, the whole thought of it. And we're 2 months away at this point, which is a good distance. But it's in striking distance. And it feels more real, especially being here at the Scouting Combine. The draft party is going to be at Big Storm Brewery. And that is in Clearwater on 49th Street. Huge sign there just south of Ulmerton Road. It's been there for years. They have it upgraded the place. It's just a fantastic place to hang out, eat, incredible menu, drink all the great Big Storm beers, which you can get in stores all over the place. Only the finer establishments, but the Bromosa, we love the Tangerine IPA, the original Wavemaker Amber Ale, and there's a whole selection. I know you've pounded some others, Lee.
Yes. I'm fond of the Wavemaker.
And the Tropic Pressure is fantastic. That's the Pale Ale,
yes.
I believe. You know, we love the Big Storm beers, but the party itself, Rock Riley is going to be the MC.
Oh, will he?
I confirmed that with Rock. They have a great sound system there, so it's not like Rock's going to be announcing the draft, but he'll check in with some fun every 20, 30 minutes and make sure everybody knows about some of the cool giveaways. I've talked about some guests. We're so close to finalizing here, and let me just say, Derek Brooks was at the draft party a couple years ago, and maybe there will be a Brooks and Ira sighting, a little Tampa 2, their show on the identity, and it's just going to be such a good time. And I encourage anybody to go to Big Storm Brewery, the three tap rooms. You can find them at bigstormbrewery.com. Great food, especially in Clearwater. That's the where all the beer is brewed. That is the landmark foundation location. Fantastic stuff.
Just south of Ulmerton.
Get on that draft party. Circle it on your calendar. Why go to the stadium when you can just have a blast? And, of course, Ira will be there hanging out with everybody and getting as much free stuff as he possibly can.
Now, I know it's right south of Ulmerton, and if I remember correctly, it's just north of the Pinellas County lockup, right?
Yeah, right by the jail.
So behave.
Yeah, so behave yourself. All right, so let's get back here, Lee, because the Jameis train never stops with this, and what I find interesting about the whole Jameis chatter is Light and Arians were very clear, vocal and clear. They want all of their pass rushers back. They want Nassib back.
Mm-hmm.
They want Sue, who Light said wants to be back, which is a revelation today.
Yes.
Jason Pierre-Paul, they want him back. Shaq Barrett, he ain't going anywhere, Arians said again. So they want all those four guys back. They're banging the table. We want those guys back. But the quarterback, they're not sure. And they say, what's behind door number two? Well, what's behind door freaking number two on Carl Nassib? Okay, is he that good?
Anthony Nelson?
Yeah. Right? Are there no other better pass rushers than what we have here?
You know, there's a gentleman that's been covering the Bucks a long time. He was pressing Arians. Like, wait a minute, you want Shaq back. You have no problem saying you want Shaq back. And he led the league in sacks. And then the guy led the league in passing and almost led the league in touchdowns. You don't know. Arians like, well, you know, you can't find pass rushers. So to that end, why let Nassib go? Now, I know Nassib always screwed that up. I know how to
Nassib like ass. That's how I remember it.
Ooh. Well, he can be at times. I'll admit that. Yeah, I know he's not exactly Reggie White, but the guy gets, what, 6 sacks, 7 sacks a year? That's not ugly. And, you know, someone, God forbid, if JPP does something dumb again, you don't know. You know, it helps to have a guy who at least it can get pressure on a quarterback to come off the bench like that.
Yeah, he's proven to be a solid player. And as you've said many times, we're not too interested in letting solid football players walk away. We want the bad ones to walk away.
You know, that, and that's one of the reasons why I never wanted to get rid of Jameis, because this organization has a nasty, nasty habit the past decade, during the lost decade, of letting decent players go. Whether it was Michael Bennett, whether it was Donald Penn, Revis, we can go on and on and on and on. And you know what? You're never going to get over the hump when you let good players go, unless you have someone to replace them, which over the past year, the Bucks did do that. They let go of Gerald McCoy. That's why I didn't want to let Gerald McCoy go. I thought he was a decent player. That's why I didn't. Well, they brought in Sue, who proved to be just as good, if not better. Certainly better against the run. Quan Alexander left. They brought in White, Devin White, who that was an upgrade. So in a sense, the Bucks let good players go, but this time it was addition by subtraction. They actually got better with the replacements. So I'm good with that. If you let a guy go and you got a replacement that is as good or better, okay. But you better have a plan. They never had a plan about Donald Penn. They never had a plan about Revis. They never had a plan. Well, yes, they had a faulty plan about Michael Bennett. They thought the gun-toting, guitar-strumming DaQuan Bowers could take care of it, and he was horrible.
The Jameis thing, you know, this door number two stuff, I thought it was interesting when I asked him about, you know, because we hadn't talked to him in months. I'm glad I remember to ask him, hey,
about 19.
Well, give us your take on the season. We haven't talked to you. What'd you think, you know? And I think he appreciated the question because, you know, we get so caught up in the moment that, gosh, this guy, he's the GM. We don't even know what he thought about the year. Well, one of the things he said was, and I'll quote him here, our offense obviously put a lot of points on the board and had a lot of yards. There was a lot of things that didn't go our way on that side of the ball that put our defense on the field too early and got behind too many games, which is interceptions. So he said it in a very nice way. But, you know, he went on to say he really loved everything else about the team. Mostly he stressed stats in the second half of the season and that he enjoyed watching the defense, coming to the stadium to watch the defense. And
yeah, he said, finally nice to come to the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, to watch the defense.
It was fun to go to the games to just watch our defense. You know, the cynics out there, myself, it's like, dude, you're the one in charge of all this for the last six freaking years.
I will never forget this, and this was when he was not in charge. He was a lackey when Lovie Smith was running the show. I will never forget, I went to the Capitol collapse. And the second half, when the collapse was in full-blown mode, he was sitting by me, him and his entourage, and which means his front office guys. John Robinson was one of them. I didn't dare turn around and look, but they were sitting directly behind me. They were pounding on the table, beating on the table, cussing under their breath. You can hear. It was unreal. I wish I had hit my tape recorder going just to hear their reaction to every ugly play that Kirk Cousins made against that rotten defense of Lovey's. These guys were just going bananas behind me, and not in a good way. And I'll never forget that. I will never forget the punching of the table and the kicking of chairs and cussing under their breath.
And, of course, Lee, we always thank Pin Chasers, 3 Tampa area locations. That's where you bowl and have just a blast and eat great food in the Tampa Bay area. Go to their website, pinchasers.net. You will see all the daily specials, and sometimes there are more than one in a day. Thursday night bowling is unlimited for $10.99 starting at 9 p.m. and $1 Miller Lights while you bowl. Shoes are always free. It's one of the best nights out in town. Pin Chasers, book an office party, a birthday party, three locations. We appreciate their support of the Ira Kaufman podcast, pinchasers.net. Arians mentioned three running backs at the podium today.
But not
Peyton Barber.
Well, the one that got the biggest reaction when he was at the podium, he referred to the running back unit as solid. And the best response I got on Twitter was, solid what? One guy said, solid waste. So
well, Arians went on later on our sidebar to talk about how he's looking for a guy who can play all three downs.
Yeah, David Johnson type.
And he said David Johnson type, yeah. Which I guess he's allowed to say. That's not tampering.
Yeah, because the guy's signed.
If you say type, right?
Ah, the magic word.
Yeah. So he didn't say Tom Brady type. He said Tom Brady. But this would be the different side.
Yeah.
But, and I get it. He said, I'm looking more for a running back who can catch, and he wants a three down back, and we don't have one. And what burns me up, Lee, hearing him say that, is you had all this opportunity to just overload Ronald Jones at the end of the season and sit down Peyton Barber and get a better look at him, mm-hmm. and understand his game a little better and let him learn. And they didn't do that. So now they have greater questions probably about Jones, and it seems like they're looking for a third down running back.
What do you think about this? Now, I know a lot of people are saying Ronald Jones this, Ronald Jones that. I think that's more people want Ronald Jones to be good. Not that he is good, but they want him to be good. And they figure he can't get good. He can't get to that level of being good unless he gets the ball X amount of times, has X amount of touches. I'm not anti-Ronald Jones, but I think we've seen enough Ronald Jones that he's going to be nothing more than serviceable.
Yeah, Jason Light he didn't name Jones, but he sort of touched on that a little bit, and it goes to the broader theme you're talking about. Jones was drafted at 20 years old. You know, season kicked off, he had turned 21. And so he's super young. He was super immature his first year, and he was decent, you know, showed that he was a legitimate NFL running back last year.
But not a bell cow.
Maybe not a number one,
yeah.
But a complimentary guy for sure. And so, you know, Light was saying, hey, look, you know, now everybody wants a guy to succeed in the first month or I'm getting ripped on for my draft picks.
I was waiting for him to look at me when he said that.
He was looking right at me.
Right at me.
And I was smiling right back at him. You know? And then he started sweating.
And looking up again?
Yeah. So, but with the Ronald Jones thing, you know, Light said, you know, it used to be a guy develops for a few years and you got a football player. And that's true. That was the mindset. But you know what? Can we say we've seen enough of Ronald Jones yet? No, it's probably not fair to say. But running backs typically walk into this league and succeed immediately. That's the position you can do it. Tiki Barber talks about it all the time.
It's the easiest position to do
so
in NFL.
Jones needs somebody else in there and let them fight it out.
Well, can I say this about Light's reaction and when he looked at you and he said, well, you know, people expect the guys to dominate in the first couple months or they, you know, come after me or whatever. You know, I like Jason Light and I hate speaking ill of him because he's a good dude and he's treated us very fairly. When you have been around since 2014 and I know he's not coaching, he's a GM, but still your team since 2014 has had one winning season. I don't think you have the luxury of hoping your players take 2 years to develop. I don't think you have the luxury of hoping that a guy develops in his fourth month. I think, you know, hoping is out the window. You see where I'm getting at?
Yeah.
What's the words I'm trying to use here? I just don't think you have the luxury or the benefit. It's a better word. You don't have the benefit of waiting a few months for the guy to show he belongs in the NFL. You got to start getting guys that come in and produce right now.
Yeah, and that's the whole focus of this team right now, I believe, is that they got to win now. And we've talked about it on the podcast. It's not really a topic for today, but if Arians goes 7-9, I think they all get fired, and rightfully so. That's
well,
just me.
I will say this.
Can't do it again.
People get mad when I say this, but facts are facts. History is history. The Glazer family has only retained one coach who had two consecutive losing seasons, and that guy won them a Super Bowl. Every other coach the Glazer family has had, if he had two losing seasons, he was gone.
the track record's there, but even if it wasn't, the way this is all set up, the team that he walked into, they have to produce. There's no more time for games. On the upside on Jameis, Arians did talk about the strides that he made. He even told on NFL Network that he made great strides, but still no embrace of Jameis, even though they're ready to embrace everybody else, seemingly, on the defensive line. Mm-hmm. Arians did say, I thought we were a 10 or 11 win team. That's what he said on NFL Network, which, you know, you take away the kicker and some picks, I'm sure that's his mentality.
Well, you brought this up earlier. Where, you know, we talk about accountability. If he thought he had an 11-win team, the only one 7, he's the coach. Now, he's supposed to be this quarterback guru. Jameis had all these picks. Granted, Jameis had 5,100 yards, which is exceptional. I just can't believe how many people overlook that or ignore it, like it never happened. He had 30 touchdowns. That's pretty damn good. But he also had all his picks. At some point, doesn't the quarterback whisperer have – I mean, again, that was Jameis's career high. It wasn't like he was throwing 30 picks with Cutter. It wasn't like he was throwing 30 picks with Lovie. He did it with the quarterback whisperer. Shouldn't that quarterback whisperer take some responsibility for that?
No, they take no responsibility, no accountability on the coaching staff publicly. They probably just don't think they deserve it.
So, maybe so, but I remember what Terry Bradshaw told me?
Yeah.
He said, hey, coach him up, Bruce.
And others have said that as well. Totally switching gears, Lee, Justin Evans. They said he's running in a pool. He's making good progress, and Arians said he did have a setback. They were hoping to have him April 1st, but June 1st is the current date, and Arians quipped something like, you know, I really wanted to see him in some OTAs prior to June 1st.
Yeah.
So it looks like Justin Evans, if he's on track and he gets a June 1st clearance, maybe he gets a little work in mini camp, which is usually late June.
Which is what they were hoping last year.
Correct, and then he gets to training.
He never did.
So Jason Light, you know, likes his safeties. If, you know, they love everybody, I get that. But not good news for Justin Evans.
It's not good news for Justin Evans, and I like Justin Evans. He's always been great with me. I like him a lot. I wanted him to succeed. But you know what? Some guys, for reasons that are unknown, are injury prone, and there's nothing they can do to stop it. That's just the way they are. Bad, good, or indifferent. And I think Justin Evans is one of those guys. Now, there was a gentleman, I'm not going to mention his name, but we both know him. Yeah, he got mad at me when I said, clearly the Bucs, clearly the weakest element of the defense is safety. This guy got bent out of shape with me. How can you say that? Blah. And he brings up Justin Evans. Are you writing Justin Evans off? I said, no, Justin Evans wrote himself off. And, you know, my biggest problem with the Bucs, and this has been the Bucs problem for at least a decade, they bank so much on hope. Last year they got lucky. They banked on Shaq Barrett, who really proved nothing. Boom, he gets 19 sacks. They banked on JPP coming back from a fractured neck, which is borderline insane. You know, they hit the jackpot. Generally, when the Bucks bank on hope, they throw craps, which, duh, you don't bank on hope. And here again, Justin Evans, they're banking on hope. Hope he stays healthy when he's never demonstrated he can stay healthy.
Well, we're going to find out if they really are banking on him based on what they do in free agency at safety.
And I like Justin. He's always been great.
You don't have to like him. It's okay.
Well,
I mean, I don't think people
you
care.
Hear the nutcase. You hate him. You hate Justin. No, I don't hate him. I'm just dealing with reality. And sometimes reality sucks. And Justin Evans, I will be willing to lay money. Justin Evans never plays 8 games in a season again the rest of his life. And by the way, and people overlook this as well, how many surgeries has he had on his wheels?
We don't even know for sure.
One of the surgeries was his Achilles. Do people not think his wheels are going to be lesser than what they were? And this is a guy who has to depend on his wheels. He plays a skill position, safety. Don't they think he's going to be slower, maybe a step or two? That's not good. I just, you know, I sure wish Justin Evans was healthy, played 16 games, made a Pro Bowl, got 8 or 9 interceptions. Like I said, I'm willing to bet right now, $100, he never plays 8 games in a season again.
Well, this will be his final year of his contract. So the Bucks can ride this thing out. He's not going to cost a lot of money. Fourth year of a second-round pick contract. And I guess if he can get healthy, he'll stay on the roster doing something.
Yeah. And what's sad about that, the whole thing is, aside from his injuries, and it's sad because a talented guy probably will never be able to fulfill his potential. How many good players the Bucks passed on, including Alvin Kamara?
Oh, tremendous amount of running backs for a safety that... Well, We don't need to depress anybody, Lee. Now, so we're here at the Combine, and, of course, we got to watch and talk to all the different quarterbacks out there today. And, you know, they're just talking their speak. They don't want to say it. Nobody even wants to say what they thought within their interviews anymore. Nobody.
No.
Nobody will say, oh, you met with the Bucks. Did you like the Coach Arians? No, they won't talk about it. Nobody will say a word.
Well, it was Jacob Eason. I went up to Jacob Eason, and you gave me this idea. I don't like to say, have you spoken with the Bucks? But you gave me the idea. Don't ask that. Ask if you've met with Arians, because then they give you feedback right about Arians. And most of the people, if you ask most of the people here on Radio Row or most of the reporters in the interview room, they'll say the same thing. Will you quit asking if you spoke with such and such a team? And the reason why that is, teams will speak with every player at the Combine. It may not be the GM. It may not be the coach. But at least some low-level scout, minimum, will speak to one of the players here. So every player here will at some point speak with a representative of a team. So it gets old when you hear that time after time, did you speak with such and such team? So you gave me the idea, and that's a good idea. Don't say that. Ask if you met with Arians. And then if they say, yeah, well, what's your feedback on Arians? Well, I asked Jacob Eason, have you gotten to meet with Bruce Arians yet? And he kind of looks at me and goes, I am not going to talk about who I met with. Whoa. Calm down, Junior. That's just an innocent question. They're not being forthcoming. Burrow was forthcoming when he basically said, I don't know who the hell started this. I won't play for Cincinnati. That was some narrative you guys started. I never said that.
Yeah, it's interesting seeing the guys spin and what they do. Jordan Love, yeah, just a nice personality. To me, it doesn't mean that much. Yeah. I mean, he spoke very well and was very focused and had that quarterback vibe to him. Some of these other quarterbacks, you look at them like, man, I don't want that guy leaving me. But some of them are just nervous.
Was it Eason that said, I'm working on my personality to be more outgoing?
I don't know. Yeah, he's kind of a dead personality, but not too bad. Not too bad. Some of the other ones. I talked to the one guy from Hawaii, the Hawaii quarterback.
I felt bad.
No, from the University of Hawaii.
Okay.
I felt bad for a couple of these guys because no one was talking to them.
So
they're standing at a podium. Think about this. Bright lights, spotlights, TV cameras, and no one is asking them a question. And they're just standing there looking like idiots. And they don't have a team yet, so they don't have a team PR guy to sort of maybe help things along, smooth things out. But, yeah, some of them, they get a lot of dead silence, and then eventually they say goodbye and they sit behind that little drape over there and eat food.
It was the wide receiver from TCU. But he's like a complete speed demon. He was the same way. He was at podium number 4 right before Jason Light. And I walk up there, and there's this crowd of people wanting to talk to Jason Light. They didn't care about this Jalen guy. And he's just I felt sorry for him. He's just standing there. I knew who he was, so I started asking him questions about being wide receiver. And he's a guy I wrote about on JoeBucksFan.com earlier that I think might be a target for the Bucks because Arians, to his credit, him and his staff, they seem to have a knack for taking burners that have never done anything in the NFL, taking burners and turning them into dangerous weapons. And that's why I think this guy from TCU, I think he runs like a 4.3 40. I think that the Bucks, if they drafted him, let's say, in the 3rd round, I think he could be a hell of a weapon. He's a kick returner. He's a very good kick returner. But the way Arians can develop, very much the way Perryman turned into a dangerous weapon. And I just think if you get a burner, Arians is going to do wonders with the guy.
Yeah, I talked to the kid out of Penn State who was here.
Oh, that guy was a speed demon.
KJ Hamler, yeah. He tweaked his hamstring. He's not running or doing much here at the Combine. But he hurt himself, but he ran a 4.27 when he tweaked his hamstring. And Chris Godwin has been an influential guy in his life. They share an agent, you know, but you can't get too much from these guys. They're just not into talking. I talked to some of the other guys with Bucks connections, you know, a wideout who played with Mike Edwards. Arians called it a beauty pageant, I think he called it. You know, there's so many wide receivers in this draft, somebody that can do whatever you need
them
to
do. Didn't he say there might be 40 draftable wide receivers?
I don't know if he put a number on it, but he certainly said that you can get anything you want, and just about any team will be able to, so that's probably at least 32. All right, Lee, as promised, let's head over to John Lynch talking about Monty Kiffin, the Hall of Fame, Ira Kaufman, and more. Monty Kiffin, just named to the Bucks Ring of Honor. What can you say about Monty Kiffin?
Well, I think the world of him. I mean, I think of the people. You know, players are responsible for the success they have, but a lot of people play a factor in that, play a role in that. And, you know, my success wasn't instant in this league, and so it took guys like Monty Kiffin, Herm Edwards, and Tony Dungy to come in and see something in me that maybe others hadn't. And, you know, Monty, remember having those talks, hey, we're going to kind of revolutionize this position. We're going to do some really fun things. We think you're capable of doing it at the highest of levels. And he always believed in me. And, you know, fun part for me, he was our defensive coordinator, but when we would break up, you know, oftentimes Herm would take the corners and Monty would walk, you know, all our cone drills, all those things, Monty was with us. So kind of was my personal coach in many ways as well. And so got incredibly close, played for him for a long time. What I love, he respected and listened to players, you know, during the game, during the week. What do you guys think would work here? And he truly listened. And so I think his 80th birthday, I really applaud the Bucks for doing that in a first-class manner. But then the announcement that he's going into the ring. And then I think I've seen a lot of people here that tell me they had no idea that his credentials were that good. I mean, that those are legit credentials.
Yeah, a lot of the younger fans, especially, they don't know.
Yeah,
they
really
forgot.
And he'll be the first to say, hey, I had great players, but he was a tremendous coach and so passionate about what he did. I think he's made the coaching profession better, made a lot of players like myself better.
All right, Hall of Fame, we all know the story in Tampa. You haven't gotten in yet. You're deserving. Hopefully next year is the year. Ira Kaufman, we run his podcast. He's been killing himself. He's sleepless nights. What can you tell the fans about how you feel about Ira presenting you and the job he's done behind the scenes and just what you've heard?
You talk about passion, you know, and diligence. The work that Ira has put into my case and all his players that he presents cases is exemplary, and you know, I'd want no one else doing my presentation, and I think that's the best testament. And every year that, you know, unfortunately we talk after it and the news hasn't been good, it's like he feels the dagger worse than I do. And so, you know, we both though pick each other up and remain confident that it will happen, and Ira's going to be a big part of that. So I'll forever be grateful whether it happens or not, but the good thing is I think it's happening, and be pretty special for it to happen in Tampa next year.
And team building, you know, obviously you're a newer GM, you reached the pinnacle without winning the big game. How have things changed for you in the last couple of years, just your focus as the leader of the NFC champion?
Well, hopefully, I just think, you know, with experience, you should get better. There's challenges to this job. I mean, when we came in, Kyle and myself, we had a ton of money at our disposal. We spent a lot of it. I think we've done so wisely on something that's sustainable, but now the reality that we don't have all that money that we've had at our disposal. So now we got to be judicious, and everything we do has got to have a trade-off and all those things. We're not in dire, you know, shape in terms of that, but we're to that point where there's trade-offs that have to be made. And so to me, that's fun. And I think we're much better, well-oiled machine. The synergy between our coaching staff and the personnel side, as good as it's ever been. We have tough decisions because a lot of our players that we've drafted and have played really well. And so now all of a sudden they come due, but I love that for players. They earn it. They should get that. And, you know, I'm very encouraged where our franchise is going.
All right, Lee, that was really cool to hear John Lynch talking about Monty Kiffin like that and diving into how Monty made him a better player and how he felt Kiffin made coaches better coaches. And, you know, it was almost as if Lynch was making a case for Kiffin to be in the Hall of Fame. We didn't go there, of course, but, you know, it was interesting his take and his deep respect for the Glazers for making Kiffin the Ring of Honor inductee for this year and doing it at his birthday party and all that. And we didn't get into that yet, but I'm glad they did it. It was a right call.
He deserves it. I mean, his record speaks for itself. What's going to be very interesting is at his ceremony, do all the living Ring of Honor members show up? I say no. For those who don't know, Warren Sapp is no fan of Monty Kiffin. Warren Sapp was a loved Marinelli. He thinks Marinelli was the reason why that defense clicked, because he's such a good defense. He was not a Monty Kiffin fan. So it'll be interesting to see if Sapp swallows his pride and shows up at the ceremony or not. I don't know. He's the only one I know of that didn't care for Monty Kiffin. Balled out for him. So I can't take that away from Sapp. He balled out for him. But he was not a fan of Monty Kiffin. It was cool they did this on his 80th birthday. It was 80th birthday party.
Yeah, it was a neat way to surprise the guy. And apparently the Bucks threw the party for him to begin
with.
Oh,
I wasn't aware of that.
That's what it seemed like. So, you know, good. It's good for them. Good for Kiffin. And there, John Lynch set the record straight that he wants no one else presenting for him other than Ira. And he talked about Ira's dedication and what goes on behind the scenes. So there you go, Ira haters. Screw you. And Ira doesn't like you.
I'm going to drop something here for you, Steve. I, about a week ago, was privy to an email. Not going to say who it's from. Not going to say who it was sent to. But this email was originally sent to John Lynch. I did not get this from John Lynch, by the way. The email was from a Hall of Fame voter in the room. And he voted for Lynch this past year. Now, of course, we know Lynch didn't make it. And this guy's email to Lynch was, "You were so close. The momentum is building. People are changing their minds." And he said, "Ira presented you with a speech that he knocked it out of the park. Don't get discouraged. It probably is going to happen in Tampa. You were so close from making it." And then this guy mentioned, Ira knocked it out of the park. This is the guy that was in the room and heard every word that Ira said. And, so people say Ira's not making any progress and Ira ought to step aside. That's complete BS. And here's another one that people don't know of. There was a guy by the name of Gary Myers. He's up in the Northeast. And I've always said, and Ira's agreed with me, I've always said there was a Northeast clique that was anti-John Lynch. They always thought that the Philadelphia safety was so much better. And it's a good argument. He was a damn good safety. And for that reason, the Northeast crowd was anti-John Lynch. And all of a sudden, this guy was one of the leaders of the Northeast writers who was anti-John Lynch. Well, this guy wrote a column after Lynch didn't make it and basically saying how Lynch was wronged and he voted for Lynch. Minds are being changed. Ira's getting to these people. It's just taking longer than everybody wants. If you put money on Lynch making the Hall of Fame next year in Tampa, I think it'd be a good bet.
Yeah, maybe we can wager on that. There is legal wagering here in Indiana, so maybe...
Three blocks away, they have a sports book, don't they?
I think so. I mean, yeah. It's all over the place, but I don't think they take Hall of Fame bets. All right. Going to move over to this, and then we'll head out. We'll have more later this week, through the week, here from the Combine in Indianapolis on Radio Row. Fun. It's fun being here, Lee. This is fun. Radio Row. This is where we belong. We'll be here on Radio Row for the Super Bowl, I'm sure.
Well, here's where I can get next loud week. And nobody gives a damn.
Yeah, nobody gives a damn because everybody else is loud, and there's no old lady eating a hamburger next to you.
Here's some fun trivia from people. This Indiana Convention Center, it was the Hoosier Dome.
All right, so... Bruce Arians was asked about O.J. Howard, and the national media actually even had asked a question or two about him because he's a well-known guy, and O.J. Howard, right? First-round pick. Well, Arians said Howard has potential, and he said something about how people have put him in a class that he hasn't reached yet, and the expectations are off the charts, and he's getting better as a blocker, and he's getting better holding on to the football. And, you know, with very lukewarm kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Jason Light, however, followed up with us saying, you know, we were just looking at his film and talking about it and looking at him in certain situations, and we're excited to get more out of him next year. But the guy was a freaking first-round pick, 17th overall, I think, if I have the number
right. They
thought
it was a steal.
Come on. But it just goes to show you that Dirk Cutter's draft obsession, that he was not taken by Bruce Arians. And Arians went on to say, hey, when you got Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, quote, tight ends probably are not catching a hell of a lot of balls. And
that's true. But you know what? Godwin and Evans were hurt the last few weeks of the season. By that standard, OJ should have gone nuts. He didn't.
I believe he caught zero balls in the last game.
Zero.
Hard to believe. And Cam Brate, I know you asked Jason Light about Cam Brate, and very lukewarm on bringing him back.
When he kept repeating the word potentially sticking around, that's not good.
If I had to guess what's going to happen with Cam Brate, is since he has no more guaranteed money, he will stick with the team. Unless they find a trade on draft night.
So what, they're going to rework his contract?
No, he'll stick with the team through training camp. And if somebody goes down hurt and it's not Brate, he might stick.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I think they'll cut him. Or look to trade him at the last minute. But I think he'll be a guy who they don't get rid of early, and they'll keep as an insurance kind of thing and just let him hang around.
So he'll be cut at the 52.
A casual cap casualty kind of cut?
Yeah.
Now, maybe not if they really need a lot of money and they know it in advance to get all these guys done that they want. But you would think there's got to be some trade market for Cam Brate, a draft day trade. sixth-round pick, conditional seventh, something?
You would think so.
Otherwise, man, they really overvalued him if they, you know, paid him this much and he's 28, 29 years old.
The problem was they paid him for what he was going to do with Dirk Cutter. And that changed when Dirk Cutter was fired and Bruce Arians was hired. Brait was arguably a Pro Bowl-level tight end with Dirk Cutter. He really was. I don't think I'm being outrageous by saying that.
Yeah, one great season.
One great season.
Consistent in the red zone always, but one great season.
One great season, but that great season was Pro Bowl level. And that, you know, that all went out the window when the Bucs got rid of a guy who loves to throw to the tight end, which is Cutter, and hired a guy who doesn't like throwing to the tight end, which is Arians.
Yeah, and I think compounding it is it went out the window, really, in 2018 because Brait was hurt. He played all year, and then he had surgery after. And last year, they just decided not to use him. And he's never been able to evolve into a blocker. So, you know, you just have too many weapons. And you know, we all would love to see the money spent elsewhere. But one, speaking of money spent, definitely got the vibe that none of these guys on the Bucs are interested in a free agent cornerback. Arians said,
which
you know,
may be a mistake.
Arians said today, you know what? Those guys played so well late in the year that, and they didn't have a leader back there. They didn't have any sort of veteran presence at all.
Mm-hmm.
They had launched Vernon Hargraves, and everyone got better. He said, well, maybe they don't
even.
Well,
by the way, he's out of football.
For now. I'm sure he'll get a job.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll get a job. But the free agency game is going to be very interesting here. They've got a lot of money to spend, and I still don't think they're going to get all these defensive linemen back. I think they're crazy.
No, I think it's fair to assume one of the three guys, the big three, Sue, JPP, Shaq, I think it's fair to assume one of those three is not coming back.
I'm going to call it the big four. I'm going to put Nassib in there.
See, I can't even go with Nassib because he's not even a starter.
And I'm going to say two out of four won't be back.
Two out of four. Okay.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised if Nassib's not back. I wouldn't throw a lot of money. The guy's not a starter. He's a nice backup, but he's not a starter. You got to worry about your starters. Those are the guys you got to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, if they want JPP back.
You could draft his replacement. Maybe Anthony Nelson is that guy. They have him already on the roster. So I'm not sweating over Nassib. You know, I always talk about the Bucs. The biggest problem with the Bucs during the lost decade, they let good players go. Well, here's problem number two. And this is your number one. This is your pet peeve. You need veterans. If the rookies are playing great, great. But don't let the rookie make them prove they can do it 2 years in a row, not 1 year in a row. Get a veteran. I mean, you've been talking about that with the cornerbacks. You know what this is starting to smell like? You know, they're saying, oh, no one's happier than I am that they've drafted good cornerbacks. But so far, that's been 1 year. And we all know the biggest jump is from the first year to the second year. But during the off season of the first year to the second year, coordinators get to spend all freaking off season trying to figure out how to beat you. That vote can happen with the rookie, so why not get a veteran?
Yeah, there's a lot of unknown out there, and the second year not everybody makes that leap. Look at Carlton Davis getting burned all over the place early last season.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have watched the first six games and thought, oh, he made the big leap. There's a lot of youth there. I don't know if they've really figured out who their nickel is. And right now you would think it's Murphy Bunting is most suited for nickel, yet...
Certainly not MJ Stewart.
No. But he might be better on the outside, but he may be best suited with this team there. You know, they want to let Jamel Dean play. I don't know. I know you're higher on the cornerbacks than I am.
I'm higher, but your point is very valid. Don't bank on him. Don't hope that this is a trend. It's not a trend. It's 1 year. It's their rookies. You know what this is starting to smell like a little bit? You know, bang, there we go, hoping that the rookies continue to play like they did this past year, which was fantastic. Don't get me wrong, which is great. No one's happier than me. But don't bank on hope. And here we are banking on hope. But what this smells like to me is, remember when Dominic and Raheem, they're coming off that 2010 season, 10 wins, should have been 11 wins, should have been a playoff berth. They added no free agents. Now, the conspiracy theorists believe that had something to do with the soccer team in England. I don't know that. But Dominic and Raheem sure had the attitude like they had it all figured out. Yeah, we knew what we were doing all along. We know what we're doing. We don't need to add anybody outside of a punter.
They added a punter. Yeah,
and it blew up in their face.
Yep.
That's what this is starting to smell like a little bit. Has a little scent to it like that. Like, we know what we're doing. These rookies, they came through. We don't need to add any veterans.
Well, they want to bring all their guys back, and that's going to turn them from a great salary cap situation to a tight one if they actually pull it off. I don't think it'll be pulled off.
Well, I'm not talking about going out and spending $6 million on a cornerback. Just get a guy that's competitive, that's decent. And
well, $6 million on a cornerback, there's Cameron Brate's salary right there. So I say go do it, dump Brate, and get a guy you can use and force these guys to compete a little bit harder. But they've got a lot of decisions to make. And we have got more and more people to talk to, Lee. And we are going to be back after it here tomorrow from the NFL Scouting Combine.
Special edition.
Yeah, special editions from the Combine as we stare at Ira Kaufman's gigantic, almost life-size, not banner here at Radio Row. Well, almost. That's sort of as big as his head, sort of.
Might be bigger.
Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, presenting sponsor of all of Ira's work here at JoeBucksFan.com. They're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, Tampa's first family of Ford, a true family-owned dealership. Get to BillCurryFord.com and ask GM Sean Sullivan to take care of you personally. He'll give you the special Ira Joe Bucks Fan discount, and you will be treated like royalty. And drink Big Storm beer. Drink it responsibly, but drink Big Storm beer. Check out the selection at the Storm Tracker, which you can find at JoeBucksFan.com or at BigStormBrewery.com. And get to the tap room in Clearwater. Fantastic food. Just a great experience at all times, just like it is at Pin Chasers. We thank them as well. Three locations to bowl and party and have a great time in the Tampa Bay area. Go to PinChasers.net. Final words, Lee?
Final words.
Beer.
Yes.